Hello and welcome back to the MBS podcast with me, Lucy Luscious.
Me, Sam.
And me, Alex.
Now, you may have noticed that Alex and Sam, they're not new presenters. They are the same presenters. But Alex and Sam, would you like to talk a little bit more about your name updates?
So... if you're listening to this straight after another one, you'll know that on the last one, I went by the name Naomi Watkins. Basically, I've been thinking recently about my gender identity, and I feel like now I'm sort of almost firmly set into the middle of non-binary and not one way or the other. So what I wanted to do was combine both aspects of my life, whereas previously my online persona was strictly feminine on where I'm sort of known from. What I'm trying to do now is to combine that with my male side and sort of present a more non-binary sort of representation of me, rather than have this really put together, only posting photos of me made up sort of account. Admittedly, I've not actually got around to posting anything yet because I'm a lazy bugger, but that's the theory at least.
Yeah, for me, I just wanted to copy Sam. No, I think I'd been having thoughts, and I think actually doing this podcast, I think definitely has helped me like think a little bit more about myself anyway. But I guess for me, I'm still happily answered to Katie or Alex. But I figured I think when I gave myself the name Katie, it was very much to create separation between the two, whereas now I'm a lot more open about my gender identity, and I share things like my podcast with people who are interested from both sides of my life, and I conveniently have like Sam have a sort of gender neutral or unisex name, at least when it's abbreviated. So I just thought I'd go by Alex and they them pronouns in general for the podcast. I'm pretty pronoun ambiguous actually, but and as I said, I just wanted to follow the trend that Naomi Sam
you've already ruined it.
I already ruined it.
I don't mind what name we use for the time being. I do want to eventually phase out Naomi, so I'm not too fussed if you slip up and you'll do it again.
Yeah, maybe if you're listening to this podcast, do a tally every time we get the names wrong, or have a guess now, and then at the end of the podcast, you can see how close your guess was.
I think for me, obviously, I don't think I've ever said on this podcast before, but my sort of male name is Dave, and I can't really blend that so well as you two can. So Dave, Lucy's just sort of stuck. Lucy's kind of my drag persona, I guess, in a way, but kind of, I think one of our friends puts it really well. It's a casual drag. It's sort of like everyday drag. I guess that's probably where I sit actually, because I love, you know, all the makeup and stuff, but I think Lucy just sticks. I quite like Lucy as a name now. It's really boring and everyone uses it, but I quite like it. I don't know why. I think it's just sort of like household name, isn't it? It's like Sophie, like Lucy, like, I don't know, Katie.
Yeah.
Talking about disguises and hiding behind them, in this week's episode, we thought it'd be great to touch on this whole kind of debate in the gender fluid, sort of just the gender spectrum community about filters. I mean, it's quite a wide issue really, isn't it? Because it's not just within this sort of section, it's like everywhere. Beauty influencers use it all the time. And so filters, you know, and changing the shape of your face and applying, it can be minimal things or it could be like anything. It could be literally changing your whole face. And so we're gonna talk about that today and have a bit of a discussion about all the different pros and cons behind filters. And I guess we should probably I don't know how much you two use filters, but we'll talk about how far we go with our editing too.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you saying it's a debate that's been around, you know, in lots of spheres. I used to dabble quite a lot with photography in my youth. I still play around with taking pictures and stuff, but I remember like when I used to be part of like photo clubs, there used to always be an argument about Photoshop and what is an image. So like some people like, you should never change an image really, or you should change the basic like levels and stuff, exposure, but you shouldn't change anything. Some people like, oh no, like if you're going for an aesthetic, it's art. Some people obviously use the arguments that a lot of the tools, I think, that even tools that exist in filtering, actually you could have done in film photography. It was a lot more complicated, and it would take you probably hours and hours to do. But you could obviously brighten certain areas, or sort of, yeah, distort the lenses and stuff like that to things.
I following on from that, I mean, I've wound up in photography really, so I never really did it as much at uni and stuff, but it's part of my job now, for photography, and I edit all of my portraits as well for Instagram. Funny enough, I'm sure we'll go into this a bit later in the podcast, but I love editing. It's one of my favorite parts of actually of Instagram is like, I sit down and sometimes I'll get a cup of tea and I'll just literally run through 50 shots that I've taken. I'm really serious about like, I just absolutely love like retouching and all sorts of things. I do the whole like shebang. I love it. But obviously there are many differing opinions with it. And I think it, I think it is important to have some level of sort of reality, or to make sure that you're at least grounded in what you're doing.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe it'd be interesting actually for the audience, because I guess those listening obviously can follow or probably already have maybe awareness of our Instagram accounts. Maybe if we talk about like what is editing for us, like what are the main things, I guess, each of us maybe like, not obviously the exact process. I don't really want to hear about, what's your favorite brush or whatever in Photoshop or
I mean,
whatever,
I'm a great fan of the healing tool. I don't know about you,
but yeah, I mean, Sam, do you want to go first on photos that you've taken? Do you edit much? Do you when you're setting up your photos and stuff, is it about getting it right when you take it, or is it sort of an awareness that you're maybe gonna just do a bit of a retouch or anything like that?
Well, it's a bit of both, really, isn't it? Because I think even if we're going outside of the gender binary, or even just how you present, even just professional photographers, they do both. They make sure that the photo is set up and taken as well as they can do at the time, but then they'll edit it later. And I think the key distinction here is subtle edits like lighting changes, gamma, brightness, highlights, whatever. That is okay because that just improves the quality of a photo. I think when they're editing using stuff like FaceApp or using filters, that is where it gets into more tricky territory. And personally, I'm not a huge fan of them because if we say we go to FaceApp again, for example, the male to female filter on that, there was a period on the r/crossdressing subreddit a couple of years ago, or maybe a year ago now, where it was absolutely inundated with people just using this filter. And we were always making the argument that that is unhealthy, because people will look at this who are potentially interested in experimenting with their gender and get this unobtainable idea of what gender expression is. Because these apps and filters, they change your face to a set beauty standard. So everyone always looks the same, and it's always a Caucasian beauty standard as well, I might add. So they'll always like make your nose smaller, make your forehead flatter, make your jaw thinner. It's always blonde, always really crap wispy hair, and you can always tell when it is a filter.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I when all of the sort of debate about the cross-dressing subreddit was going on about like filters. So I genuinely am not a huge fan of filters. I don't really I sort of had fun with them in terms of like back when I was maybe questioning and stuff, but yeah, don't really post or anything with them. But I guess it's sort of like the point I'd actually say, so with the cross-dressing subreddit, I think that yeah, it's part of it is obviously trying to inspire people to be more comfortable and sort of inspire people to think aspirations. And I think that's where it's harmful, is when people are maybe aspiring to look like people who've used the filter and stuff. The place that annoys me the most whenever I've seen this filter, though, again using the Reddit, is when you see it on sort of subreddits where it's more explicitly about gender identities. So I think our cross-dressing put a ban on filters. I think a lot of these other subreddits have tried to police it a little bit, but they've got so like the R gender fluid one, I've seen it on the NB one, I've seen it on the trans passing one, which is for people who are transitioning and want to go and get a read on what sort of gender they people feel they're presenting at, which I think is really harmful actually. I've also seen it on, I think there's one which is called Trans Timelines, and it's where people sort of share progress stories, and I've definitely seen the filtered one there. And again, that's where it can be quite harmful. I think I'd say it's more harmful there than on the R cross-dressing subreddit.
Interestingly, I was watching something on YouTube or something, I think it came up, and it was about people getting plastic surgery and sort of changing their face shape. And the person said, the sort of the clinic, you know, the plastic surgeon said that the filters that people use, I think more, yeah, the face app ones, face tuning their face and stuff. It actually gave them an idea about the sort of the perfect face that they wanted. And quite often they were very happy with that. I don't know about that. Yeah. You know, they'll always talk about the positive cases, won't they? They'll never talk about anyone who's maybe in whether the healthy relationship, how healthy the relationship is with that. But I thought that was a really interesting little thing, actually. It was like the fact that people were basically face tuning their faces, going to plastic surgeons, and then saying, and then the plastic surgeon could kind of recreate that a bit. I think that's, I don't know how I feel about that, but that. I guess, you know, plastic surgery is always a bit of a funny one for me.
I don't think it's the case that plastic surgery is bad or anything. I think obviously people will, like, as I said, as long and I'd like to think that there's a majority of plastic surgeons obviously act ethically and they wouldn't do stuff there. But I know, there's been obviously a lot of controversy, because I think when Instagram and Snapchat started obviously doing user-generated filters on the things, there was a lot of controversy about filters which showed you what, like, having a nose job would look like, or showed you what, like, slimming your jawline would look like. So again, it's not necessarily from a male to female transformation perspective, but essentially Instagram and Snapchat obviously had to obviously take quite swift action in banning them, I don't know, it's an interesting one. I mean, I think like filters within being obviously Asian myself and obviously having some roots in East Asia, a lot of these apps actually originate from like China and stuff, or Japan and stuff, and I think they also, like, you if you ever use like a Chinese app, and I've definitely played around with them in terms of face tuning and stuff like that, they often have like features which enlarge in the eyes and stuff like that, which within a lot of East Asian countries it's like a rite of passage, almost getting the surgery where eyes are widened and stuff like that. So it's interesting there, because I guess the surgery, I think, probably existed and was more popular before the app, whereas I guess this way around it's sort of different, it's sort of in reverse, like the app's driving
references. That relationship between the two is really quite interesting, sometimes scary, I guess, for people, but it's very untrodden ground, really. I think it's such a new thing. Because the Instagram AR filters are quite interesting as well. I don't know if either of you two have ever played with them, but like, I actually quite often use, I'm guilty of using one of the AR filters sometimes when I'm doing videos and things, because I often shoot in poor light sometimes, and I have got my ring lights and things, but I just get like really bad frown lines, and sort of I'm aging quite a bit as well, you know, like I'm in my 30s now, not a spring chicken anymore, so there's definitely like some wear and tear on the face, and I just like to sometimes soften that a little bit. But I wouldn't say my relationship with the AR filters is such that like I have to put it on every single time. I mean, I've got a gardening account and I never put it on there. It's just because I really don't like my frown lines, and it's an easy way of getting rid of them, I guess.
Would you, if you had unlimited money, would you get surgery or was it Botox or something to get rid of the frown lines?
Well, this is an interesting thing as well, because I know a couple of people who get fillers. You know, they go to the they stop off at the filler place, and there's something called a lunchtime filler, I think, which is literally just they put some filler in your lips, or like they do it in your nose, and it's like done in 20 minutes. So I know a lot of I was watching a YouTube video, and someone was saying that a lot of like beauticians and sort of, you know, makeup people would go and get their nose job done, you know, like a little bit of filler in the bridge, or sort of something under the cheeks or in their lips for like their lunch break.
Lunchtime filler sounds like a sandwich option, like a meal deal or something.
It does, doesn't it? BLT.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I'm just popping to Pret a Manger to go and get my lunchtime filler.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because, so like for me, I think I probably sit closer to Sam on terms of utilizing the, like, how much stuff. So I generally will correct for bad light in general. And sometimes, I guess the most I think I'd say, not being dishonest or anything, but like in terms of like things is sometimes I would turn up the shadows to like maybe I've got like a little bit of a double chin and stuff, so I'll do turn up the shadows to go and just take that away sometimes from photos, I guess. But obviously part of it is obviously just posing correctly and doing stuff like that, but I sometimes will just put on some of the Instagram default filters they do for posting photos, but I will turn them right down.
Yeah.
Just to sometimes just go and bring out like a nice color or palette and stuff there. But yeah, I have played around in the past with, I can't remember. It's definitely an Asian app because it feels very Asian, but as I said, and it had options, and I remember just like, there's like a default thing called like auto beauty. And I remember doing it and I was like, from a distance, it looked like the same photo, and then I pushed the button where you can see the slide, and I was like, "Oh my god, my face is so, so smoothed and stuff." And it was, but yeah, it's interesting. I think the most I've probably do now is if I have like a spot or something. So I've got like sometimes got this spot that comes over my arm that comes in photos. I'll sometimes just go and use the spot healer and just get rid of that. But yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting thing. I mean, some phone cameras actually have it built in.
Yeah,
so Samsung phones are notorious for smoothing faces in general. So, but yeah,
I think all of these lead back to sort of people's relationships with their bodies, and if they're happier seeing themselves with a filter, and they keep using that filter. Obviously, when they, say, look in a mirror or something, they're going to get a different image to what they see on a filter. So, especially for someone who has body dysmorphia or gender dysphoria, they're going to look through these things and realise that, oh, this is an ideal that I would like to be, but then this is what I'm like in real life. So that can really affect someone's mental health. Even if it's something really minor, like feeling like you want your lips slightly bigger, like you just said with your lunchtime filler. That's a reasonably easy fix, but for a lot of things, it's all down to your bone structure. So, say someone just wants slightly higher cheekbones. Yes, you can get filler for that. However, if they want a rounder jaw, that is quite major surgery that is needed for that. Even if someone takes hormones to try and soften their face and feminize their face, they're still going to have the bone structure underneath it. And then if you go to the wider body as well, you're going to have, obviously, the fact that a male and a female skeleton is very, very different. So someone can look here and do a face tune and give themselves a narrower waist, wider hips, and like really, really like that version of themselves. But the true version of themselves, they might not like, because they've seen almost an idealized version of what they want to be.
On the relationship with edit, I mean, we're really talking about sort of varying degrees of editing, and I guess filters are sort of an extension of editing, really. They're just sort of like a kit edit, aren't they, in one. And I think I do think filters are probably there are elements of filters that could be quite dangerous, but base level sort of editing, the stuff that I would do on my Instagram account, you know, like I said, for me, and I'm sort of part of, this is like a subculture that I'm part of, which is the people that really enjoy the art of the image as well, and what kind of lighting you're using, bringing out certain tones. I shot with candlelight the other day, which was really interesting, the kind of the tonal differences, and that leads on to also like the fact that filters are just an extension of kind of things that you can do in real life as well. So you can change your lighting, you can obviously bring in more lighting, or you can stand and use natural light and be in quite a dark room, and what you end up with is your skin. Your skin isn't smooth anyway. Your skin is very bumpy, and there's lots of different things going on, you know, and there's lots of texture, and sort of having more contrast in that light is going to pick up more tones, and it's going to accentuate lots of different things that maybe you don't want it to. So it's really like, over centuries, you know, since we've been able to probably, I don't know, picture ourselves or whatever, lighting has been really important. And then obviously an extension of that is filters now, and like AR and changing the shape of things, I think is really interesting. But yeah, there's definitely a subculture of people like myself who enjoy the creative aspect of editing. So almost like the texture of my skin is not what I want people to look at. I want people to look at like the eye color, or what I've done with my hair or my clothing. So for me, it's almost like to take away the texture to a degree, or to use a friendlier part of my texture to then cover the rest of my face, so I don't have like frown lines or whatever, or like bumps where I've shaved and you can kind of see just a little bit of sort of that impression on the bottom. That's why I would do it, is to kind of accentuate the areas that I really want to and not distract away from them.
So I'm going to, I don't know if this is devil's advocate. I'm playing a little bit of a devil's advocate here, because I'm thinking, obviously, there potentially will be some people listening in, and actually filters is something that you might enjoy using and stuff like that. So I feel like I'm going to throw some interesting, hopefully interesting points there. So on the point of face smoothing and stuff, or obviously using filters to go and things, what are your opinions on filters to put makeup onto your face? So some people maybe don't have the skills that you obviously are obviously a bit of an expert in, and so maybe would. I think you can obviously have apps where you can obviously apply various degrees of makeup and stuff like that. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, as someone who, and I think we all three of us can agree with this, I think as someone who started out and like it probably didn't even, well, I got Instagram probably just as I'd done makeup for a little bit, but not very long. I think, from a personal point of view, I think people should learn to a degree and go for it and be like, because it's like any creative pursuit, you know, like you do your first drawing, it looks like poop, whatever, but you're learning, and the point is that you've done it and you've done a look, and you know, it doesn't matter if you're eyeliner goes halfway down your cheek or something, or like you've drawn it in some sort of weird shape, or like you just, you put lipstick on too far so it looks a bit weird. Honestly, all these things, actually, I'm pretty sure, I don't know, I'm speaking for myself here, but I remember my first makeup look. I was like, this, I look great. I look amazing. And I look back now and I was like, you definitely don't. Every single stage, I look back and I'm like, what was I doing there? Looking back a year ago, I'm like, what was I doing? Sometimes I look back and I go, oh, I really like how I did that, and I can't replicate that again because I do too much of this or that. So from a personal point of view, I think it's really important for people just to throw themselves out there and do that. Obviously, not everyone has that same confidence and ability almost sometimes to just be a bit more, they're less secure maybe in that sense. So I think it's okay to do it, but I think it's also really important to tell people that, not pretend like this is you, because it's definitely not, and you're lying to yourself a little bit there as well. I think it's important to say, so I'm testing out these looks or something, I would one day like to do this, but it just gives me a bit of confidence. Talk a bit more about it and don't necessarily pretend to be like, oh, this is me, because I see it so often on Instagram, and actually I don't get angry. I just think these people are probably kind of lying to themselves a little bit, because that's a really hard thing to achieve. And if you're not honest with yourself from the start, it can foster a sort of, it can make you very sad, I think, through sort of slightly depressed as well, because you're chasing after something that's going to be incredibly hard to achieve.
Yeah. No, Sam, do you agree with that sentiment? Do you have anything that you
I
add
think the filters
to that?
themselves, say they're applying makeup through AR, I think that's fine. But much like Lucy, I think it's very much a you're better off learning it for yourself rather than relying on this app that normally does quite a dodgy job anyway, because obviously it relies on seeing where your eyes and your nose and your mouth are in relation to your face and applying it like that. But if you do any movement whatsoever, you're always going to be able to tell that it's fake. So I suppose it's fine for photos, but it's worth noting that they all look quite obviously like filters, because essentially they're drawing onto your face, and it's never going to be the same quality as the photo, or be under the same lighting conditions, or anything like that. So it's always going to be obvious.
I think also there's two things here. One is that anything that I've seen, even face app, when it does hair, it always like it makes people look like they've got this sort of weird hair thing going on, like almost like a mullet, and then like a because it like if it gives you a fringe, it always kind of like it tries to mold it in with your natural hair, and it just looks really weird. And also the makeup side of things, like I've seen people use, I think there's an Instagram AR filter or something, and it's got this sort of like eyeliner and lip thing. And I think there are so many better AR filters out there. It's definitely worth, if you're going to do it, I think look out for better ones. Because I think, and actually, sometimes with the AR filters as well, you might be able to achieve at some point in the future, you might be able to achieve something similar, because they're often more subtle. It can be things like freckles. I've seen people on YouTube replicate these things, so they've put a freckle AR filter on, and then they've decided to try and do a freckles themselves. Obviously, under the assumption that they might not get to the same level, but they do achieve something quite similar. And I think things like that, subtle differences that Instagram now offers you, great, play around with it and experiment, because you might find something that you like. But yeah, definitely. Just have a go. And honestly, we've all been there. And I know makeup might seem like a real slog, and it might, I mean, I say, I people always ask me, about my journey, and I'm always like, well, I did spend about 1,000 hours watching makeup videos. And if I look at my YouTube timestamp and I calculate it all, it probably is about 1,000 hours. But I think it's great. I love watching them. I used to put them on, have a cup of tea, a drink, you know, get my makeup out, get my ex's kit that she gave me, like, you know, little naked palette and a terrible brush. And I used to just put that on my eyes. I didn't even shave my beard. I had my beard on, you know, red lipstick or whatever, probably awfully placed. And I just did it. I didn't even just put foundation on. Or I used to use that horrible, horrible mousse. I used to find things sometimes and just try them out on my face. And it was just, used to find them anywhere. It was so bad, actually, because where did this stuff come from?
Yeah. I think you both have touched on, like, a really nice point about it's, I think, yeah, obviously about being able to achieve it. I think, obviously, these tools and stuff, I guess they're there for, like, instant I guess they're sources of instant gratification, I guess, for some people. And I guess the thing is, it's about obviously, yeah, being true to obviously yourself, but then also being true to, if you're posting on Instagram and you're trying to masquerade that is you, if you're using something that's drastically changing your body shape or face, or that you did a look and stuff, I think there, because actually if you look at it, actually a lot on Instagram, like, a lot of the filters are fun, and do you remember, like, a few years ago where, like, every, like, pretty much any, like, female friend I had would always use the dog filter on, like, Snapchat, I think, and stuff like that, and it wasn't, and they weren't pretending to be dogs, and they were, but it, obviously it was such a cartoonish filter and stuff, or people like using it because it, like, hides, like, it hid like bits of their face that maybe, you know, you're like, oh, I haven't put as much makeup on, so I'll just have, like, the dog ears and the tongue and nose over, like, most of my face and stuff. But I think the general thing is, obviously, it's about being true. And it's about, like, why are you sharing on Instagram or Facebook or Reddit or whatever platform you like to use. Obviously, listen to the platform episode if you haven't already. I guess it's, are you there, obviously, just because I think for some people it's just a case of, I want to share pictures of me. I get a lot of gratification out of sharing pictures of me and getting those likes or that Reddit karma and stuff. But then it's sort of like, what's the impact on your followers or the people viewing? So if people think it's real, are they think that's achievable? And then also, I guess, yeah, if you're sharing to try and be more, I guess, try and inspire people or share progress and stuff, it's, yeah, you're probably not being true to yourself if you're using a high level of filters which are changing the content of the image, because I think that's the difference. I think the distinction in what we're talking about here is there's a lot of filters which are more just changing the environment a little bit, and a few tweaks here and there, whereas I guess, yeah, when you're using filters which are actually adding stuff to the image or removing stuff from the image, it's maybe a bit extreme, a bit more extreme, obviously, from that side. So I think we've like, in terms of the conversation and where we're going, I think, yeah, there's obviously been sort of the talks about, like, the different types of filters. So obviously things from which are actually adding stuff or taking stuff away from the picture, and to obviously ones which maybe are a bit more subtle, such as obviously skin smoothing or obviously fixing lighting and stuff. I guess it's like, because I think we will definitely have there'll definitely be people who are listening who maybe do enjoy using filters and stuff, and I think we obviously, like, make it clear that although I think all three of us are necessarily fans of people using filters as their prime way of portraying online, I guess that there is a room for them, I guess, as a form of escapism maybe, or a bit of fun, as I said, for yourself, I guess. Would you agree to that, or would you say
they are fun to experiment with and play with? I think what you just need to be careful of is that you're not saying that is who you are, because if people look at it, again, it goes back to the mental health thing, is if people look at someone and go, oh, this person's really pretty, that's going to give them the wrong impression that they're more perfect than they actually are. So by all means, go away, have fun and play with filters. I know there's quite a few fun ones on Instagram stories, but just be careful that you don't say that that is you, like normally.
And if you are using the makeup filters, if you do feel confident doing it, I would definitely recommend just having a go with some, just a bit of lipstick or something. It's quite fun. Like Naomi says, sorry, like Sam says, it's quite fun to just play around with that stuff and just try it out, because honestly, we all started from zero. Like, we all started without any knowledge at all. You've got to remember that as someone who's experimenting with your identity and your expression, you're starting where, like, if you're doing, male to female or whatever, or you're just being queer with your makeup or whatever, you're starting from when, like, some kids started. Some kids started when they're 5, 6, playing with their mum's stuff and putting on like a little bit of lipstick or something, and just looking, getting it everywhere. Like, obviously, you're going to have a lot more motor kind of skills and sort of things like that to be able to place it well. But like, there's still that element of like how to learn to blend or how to learn to accentuate something or contour or things like this. But try and take something good from it. Like, each time you're practicing these things, you're learning more about yourself too. The amount of time I've spent in front of my mirror practicing makeup, I've definitely learned so much more about myself, my body. What I've learned also what I really enjoy about my body too. So I love, my lips now. I quite like my jawline, even though it is a little bit more masculine than I probably want it. I love my cheekbones. You'd start to pick out things about your face if you actually look in the mirror as well. And everyone has some element of their face that they really, really like, and it works for them. I definitely think so. But there's nothing wrong with using a filters if you want to. It's just make sure your relationship with them is grounded and that you don't obsess over them, because they're really not a good thing to obsess over.
I mean, one thing actually I would say in terms of a good thing that I think anybody could use the makeup filters for is if you're unsure about a color that you want to try out and buy, you can always try out a sort of a different color shade of lipstick. And actually, I think some of the major makeup brands actually have their own apps or try-on services where you can obviously try different colors, and I'd say that's really useful. But yeah, I think there is a lot more satisfaction and gratification using them in real life. But yeah, I do sympathize with people using filters, because I think, yeah, when I was more questioning and I didn't necessarily know where to start in terms of exploring gender identity and stuff, filters obviously were a nice like escapism thing, and it'd be like, oh yeah, I wish like I could do that one day. And I think it's just taking that leap of faith, isn't it, really?
Definitely. It's, we're a very expressive community as well, I think, and in the gender fluid sort of gender spectrum, everyone's, it's because it's not normalized. Yeah, I guess a lot of us feel like even just putting on a little bit of lipstick on a guy sometimes is still seen as so out there and so expressive that it can seem like quite a lot to someone who's approaching it, I guess, and still not sure about it. So there is, there's obviously an argument about being anonymous and wanting to hide behind things sometimes. But I honestly, I think all of us have come from a place where we were very nervous, very timid, and I can't think of many people that I know who started out full, all guns blazing, ready to walk out on the street, full of makeup and everything else, like going for photo shoots and stuff. There's a lot of people that started exactly where you are now. And they probably, I probably would have used filters if they were around when I was 18. But I'm so old now that they were definitely
Filters were something you put in coffee, wasn't
weren't. Yeah, it was, yeah.
You put your filters in coffee?
Then you put, what is it?
But you
You're the
see,
coffee expert, aren't
you're
you?
talking to the coffee expert, yeah.
You brew your coffee and you pour it through a filter, or so you put the coffee, like grind, into a filter and pour the hot water through it. so it drips in. You don't.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't put.
I do know what filter. I'm just
clarifying.
I was yeah. Don't this is put, what don't put, life. Don't put filter paper in your coffee. Just use it to make your coffee. I will retract my.
This is what lockdown is currently doing to the envious crew. But yes, Katie. But yes, Alex's analogy for filters, coffee filters, and whatever was a very good one. I didn't have, and Alex, I don't think you had filters when because we are pretty much on the same birth year. I don't think either of us had filters as such when we were younger. So it's definitely
there was one. It was really really basic though. I think you used to see it in the Science Museum as well. I think they used to use it. It was by like St. Andrews University.
Don't say anything more. We don't want to tell anyone how old we are.
It's fine. It was a horrible.
Don't look it up. Don't wiki it or anything. You know.
Yeah.
We're spring chickens here.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Cool. I think that's a nice place to end. As said. We appreciate obviously the topic. It's not so clear cut. And obviously we welcome obviously if you agree with us or don't agree with us, you can always obviously message us.
Yeah, as Alex said, we're very open to this debate, and I think there's a lot of people that have a lot of opinions about it. So we'd love to hear from you. You can also email us at mbspodcast@gmail.com, and you can also find us on Instagram at mbs_podcast. Also, we'd love it if you could rate and review the podcast. It really helps to get us out to more people in the general.